Syrian President Bashar al-Assad says Israel is trying to destabilize and weaken his country. Israel implicitly accepted responsibility for launching an airstrike on Syria, saying it's concerned about the flow of arms from Syria to Lebanon. The US has voiced similar sentiments, but others are saying the Israeli strike shows the foreign-backed insurgency is nearing a dead end in its battle with the Assad government. This is The Debate.
January 30th, 2013. Israeli warplanes violate Syrian airspace, striking a military research center near the capital, Damascus. At least two people are killed and several others injured. Just days later, Israel's Minister of Military Affairs indirectly confirms Tel Aviv's involvement in the attack.
I cannot add anything to what you have read in the newspapers about what happened in Syria several days ago, but I keep telling, frankly, that we said, and that's one another proof that when we say something, we mean it.
Barak's comments follow a report issued by the Mossad-linked Debka file, which reported that Wednesday's airstrike took place with the approval of U.S. President Barack Obama.
Officials have stated off the record that President Obama not only knew about the Israeli attack, but the head of Israeli military intelligence has been in the United States for this discussion and for these preparations.
Syria vowed to retaliate, but so far has refrained from any response. Syrian President Bashar Assad says Israel is trying to destabilize his country. Assad says Damascus is able to confront current threats and aggressions. Iran, which is pushing for a political solution to the crisis, also says Tel Aviv will regret its airstrike on Damascus, just as it has regretted its previous aggressions in Lebanon and the Gaza Strip.
They will regret this recent aggression exactly as they have regretted the 30-day war, the 12-day war, and the 8-day war.
According to Syrian media outlets, security forces have seized huge quantities of weapons used by foreign-backed insurgents in the country, many of which are Israeli-made. Reports also indicate that Tel Aviv is planning to create a buffer zone reaching up to 10 miles inside Syrian territory. The story, published by the Sunday Times, says the first stage of the Israeli operation would involve two infantry brigades and a tank battalion. So how far does Israel's military agenda in Syria go?
This U.S.-backed Israeli attack on Syria is the beginning of what threatens to become a far wider war targeting Syria, Iran, and dragging the entire region into a bloodbath that will endanger the lives of millions.
Well, joining me now live from Tehran is the founding member of the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance, Mr. Kevin Barrett. Welcome to the program, sir. We're also expecting President of the Middle East Research Center, Mr. Richard Hellman, with us. He's going to be live from Washington, and also founder of StopImperialism.com, Eric Dreitzer, who's with us live from New York. Welcome. My first question to our guest here in Tehran with us, Mr. Kevin Barrett, what does the Israeli intervention in Syria basically mean to you? Some saying Israel is concerned that President Assad is losing his grip on power as a result on his country's arsenal, including chemical weapons. Again, the concerns that have been raised on the issue of Syria's weapons and how this is going to affect the region. This pointed out, rather, as a major concern for Israel and the United States.
Well, I think that's nonsense. The chemical weapons issue is disinformation. We've caught these al-Qaeda, so-called Syrian rebel groups, funded by the Zionists and by the Saudis, making plans for false flag attacks with chemical weapons to be blamed on the Syrian government. So I don't think that's the reason at all. I think that this is a last-ditch, desperate act because they're not making any progress. The insurgency in Syria, which is really more of a destabilization effort directed by foreigners, is bogged down. And I think what this attack on Damascus really reveals is an amazing convergence between Israel and al-Qaeda. You know, they seem to be on the same side all the time. Israel is destabilizing Syria, Al-Qaeda is destabilizing Syria. Israel wants to undermine Lebanon, Al-Qaeda undermines Lebanon. You know, Al-Qaeda runs around attacking Muslims all over the world, and Israel runs around attacking Muslims all over the world. And it makes me wonder whether maybe Israel is actually just another branch of Al-Qaeda. So I think I'm going to write a letter to President Obama and ask him to consider a drone strike against the chief of the Al-Qaeda branch of occupied Palestine, whose name happens to be Benjamin Netanyahu.
All right, Eric Drates in New York. Let's have your opinion on this. Something that our guest here in Tehran mentioned was the convergence, he said, that Israel is now finding with Al-Qaeda. And a lot of people have been saying, when we hear comments from Israel repeatedly, that we think Sunni extremists in Syria is better than the Assad government in Syria. This does say that at least in some aspects, the interests of Al-Qaeda and Israel do meet.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about that. Their interests absolutely do meet. And this is actually not directly just an Israel-Al-Qaeda relationship. I think that we have to put it in the broadest context, and that is that Israel and Al-Qaeda are two sides of the U.S.-dominated imperial system, an imperial system which has waged war on the independent nation of Syria, attempting to destroy that country and thereby breaking the alliance with Iran and the Shiite arc of dominance that stretches all the way from Tehran to southern Lebanon with Hezbollah. So there's a geopolitical agenda at work here, something that I and many other activists and political analysts have talked about since the beginning of the conflict. And Al-Qaeda is an important and integral element of the U.S. imperial system. We saw the way that Al-Qaeda was deployed in Libya against the Gaddafi government. We've seen the deployment of Al-Qaeda in the 1990s in the Balkans. We even saw at the earliest foundations of Al-Qaeda in the Mujahideen effort against the Soviets in Afghanistan. So time and time again, we've seen that Al-Qaeda, in whatever incarnation it has, is part of this imperial system. Mm-hmm. Now, we have offshoots of Al-Qaeda, some of which are more directly or indirectly part of this same system. But we have to understand that as an imperial system, that is what we're seeing here. And Syria is one front. Israel is one part of that.
Well, let's just look at how the Syrian government has been responding to this Israeli strike. We had the Syrian defense minister, General Fahd Jassim al-Farij. I'll put this question to Kevin Barrett. We had him say that Israel attacked the research center because rebels were unable to capture it. And he called the rebels Israel's, quote, tools. Now, Assad also said that the raid unmasked the true role that Israel is playing, he said, in collaboration with foreign enemy forces and their agents on Syrian soil. So would you say that as the government in Syria is saying that Israel was, from the beginning point, collaborating with the insurgents, though not directly?
Well, absolutely. Israel has been trying to destabilize its neighboring countries for decades. The Yenon Plan, which was revealed back around, I believe, 1970, set out the Israeli strategy for future decades. And that strategy was based on balkanizing the Middle East, breaking up the nations around the region, which could pose a strategic threat to Israel someday because the people of the region have no use for Israeli apartheid. So in order to deal with this unsustainable situation in this settler colony in Palestine, they have decided they're going to have to break up the countries around them into these small and powerless units. And to do that, they are striking on the fault lines that already exist, the fault lines of the Sunni-Shia divide, the fault lines between different ethnic groups, the Kurds, etc., the Alawites in Syria versus the Muslim Brotherhood. Wherever there's any kind of dispute in a country anywhere near Israel, you can bet that the Israelis are working overtime to drive a wedge into that split and to destroy the country. You know, they've already turned Iraq into virtually three independent entities.
Yeah.
They've driven so many people out of Iraq. They've turned Libya into a basket case. They've smashed Sudan into two pieces. Now, this is the largest Arab country geographically, and as well as the largest African country. And so it's obvious that Israel is the main winner in any destabilization effort of Syria. And so I think these so-called Al-Qaeda mercenaries, the people that the Saudis are letting out of prison to go and kill people in Syria, are really de facto Israeli mercenaries. And one of these days, I think that people in the Gulf region are going to figure this out.
Well, you refer there to the strategic interests of Israel. Now, I'd just like our viewers to take a short break and take a look at a comment that one of our viewers has put on our Facebook page. Now, of course, on our Facebook page, the question that we put up today was, what is Israel's role, in your opinion, in the Syrian crisis? And is it, do you think, trying to destabilize Syria, as the Assad government has been saying? Now, we've asked you to share your views with us. And one of our viewers on this note, Bakari Maligwa Mohammed, says it is a known fact that Israel has a strategic interest over the Syrian crisis. Whenever US and Western allies are involved in perpetuating the crisis and fomenting turmoil and chaos within and without Syrian borders, it's for Israel's benefit that thrives by seeing an unstable and insecure Syria. So that's one of our comments. Now, let's go to Eric Dreitzer now in New York on this. So, Mr. Dreitzer, how important are these strategic interests, and do they include an unstable Syria? I mean, a lot has been said, and Iran has been saying this as well, that what is causing concern for Israel is the fact that Syria is part of the axis of resistance against Hezbollah, and we're hearing Israel say a lot now about Hezbollah.
Yeah, well, the last part of the comment, I think, is the most pertinent one, and that is that Syria is part of this axis of resistance, or particularly the Shiite alliance that I mentioned earlier. Syria is really the linchpin to this alliance. Without Syria, you don't have a bridge between Iran and Hezbollah. Without Syria, you don't necessarily have Iraq as close to other Shiite countries as they want to be and need to be. So that's definitely a part of this. The strategic interest go further than that. Remember that the Israelis are some of the best in the world in terms of advanced weaponry, weapon systems, and purchasing weapons on the international market. And we know that the Israelis were involved in funneling in some of those weapons that went through Turkey and into the hands of the so-called opposition, the so-called rebels. So Israel's played a very critical role in all of this. Now, the strategic necessity of an unstable Syria, I think, is a question mark. And I think that we've seen a divide in Israel among the ruling class in that country with regard to what would be the best policy as it pertains to Syria. But mm-hmm. I think that what we're clearly seeing is that as the opposition march on Damascus has failed and their attempt to unseat Assad from power has failed, Israel comes in playing the bad cop to the United States' good cop and essentially galvanizing the situation there with a military strike, knowing exactly that it would galvanize the opposition and give them another way to criticize and attack Assad.
Well, there are those who disagree with this said about Israel's role. Let's just go to another comment that's been put on our Facebook page before I put this question to Mr. Barrett. One of our viewers on our Facebook page, in response to that question that we put up about, of course, Israel's role in the Syrian situation, has said that the person putting the name of Stan Lee Mudenda, and he said, Arabs are just paranoid. Every problem they have with each other, they quickly point at and blame Israel and America. Since when did we see Israelis fighting in Syria? Syria was destabilized long before that alleged Israeli bombing of that arms manufacturing plant. You can't certainly say Israel is responsible for the confusion in Syria. You are just gullible people. So, Kevin Barrett, what would you say to that?
Well, he's saying Arabs are paranoid, and I'm not Arab. And here at Press TV in Tehran, there aren't that many people who are Arab. There's an old saying from the 60s. The hippies used to say, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. And, you know, they are out to get you. In this case, there's a very good reason for the apparent paranoia about Israel. And, you know, that's because Israel has been playing this extremely aggressive and destabilizing role in the region ever since it was founded. And the Israeli strategists apparently decided that it had to play that role. Mm. They had a choice at some point to live with their neighbors peacefully within their United Nations borders, or then even within their pre-1967 borders. And they didn't want to do that. Instead, they engineered a war of aggression in 1967, stole a lot of territory, including the most important, spiritually important territory on earth, city of Al-Quds, or Jerusalem. And they've been intervening all over the world with their false flag attacks, They've attacked Americans in Egypt and tried to blame Arabs. I'm convinced that they're a major force behind the 9/11 attacks, as well as the other post 9/11 attacks in London, Bali, Madrid, and so on. The Israelis are running around making a lot of trouble. They are the most aggressive country in the world, pound for pound, and their Mossad has as a motto, "By way of deception, thou shalt do war." By way of deception, thou shalt do war. They are bragging about the fact that they are sneaking around, lying, blaming things on other people, and undermining all of their neighbors. And they've even admitted this, as I said, in the known plan that was published many decades ago, that their plan is to break up the Middle East into little pieces. They're not even hiding that. So to call Arabs and other Middle Easterners paranoid for noticing reality, I think, is pretty naive. And I think it's the people in the West, and particularly in the USA, who have no clue about what's really going on in the Middle East. And I say this as a Middle East studies PhD that, you know, I didn't know either until I had to study this stuff. And the more I learned, I guess the more paranoid about Israel I got.
Well, let's just look at the aftermath of this Israeli strike, how various countries have been responding to this. I'll put this question to Eric Dreitzer. Now, Mr. Dreitzer, we saw Turkey and Saudi Arabia among those who verbally condemned the violation, they said, of international law, the aggression, they said, against a sovereign state's territory. But the U.S. Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, after this attack, said Washington is increasingly concerned that Syria's, quote, chaos could allow Lebanon's Hezbollah to obtain sophisticated weapons from Damascus. And that's the same position that Israel has taken. So do you think this shows that the U.S. could have given the green light for this attack, or in any way have been involved before this airstrike actually took place?
Well, there's no doubt about this. I mean, the United States and Israel are not just close partners. They are deeply embedded allies. And the Israelis, for whatever people would like to say about the Israelis and their power that they wield around the world in the form of intelligence, at the end of the day, Israel is still part of the U.S. hegemonic system, still part of an Anglo-U.S. empire, one that seeks to exert its hegemony and its will onto the Middle East. So, yes, absolutely, the United States was involved in the decision-making process, perhaps not necessarily at the presidential level. That's entirely possible. But certainly in terms of the strategic planning of this, Israel would certainly be collaborating with the United States and would not have proceeded with this type of an attack had they not had some kind of an overt or at least an implicit green light from Washington. And I would take it one step further, though. This is part of a much larger planned agenda. We see it in the form of white papers from the Brookings Institution. Just look at some of the information that came out of the Doha Center in the leading up to the Syrian conflict. We saw that Israel was part of a strategic plan to destabilize Syria, and that Israel would play a key role, that they wouldn't necessarily be an active participant, but that they would be a peripheral actor able to create chaos on the outside of Syria, thereby destabilizing the situation there and allowing for the smashing of the Syrian state. That is what we're seeing, an attempt to destroy the Syrian state. And that chaos that would emerge out of that, like we see in Libya now, that chaos would be to the benefit of the U.S. imperial system.
Well, I'd just like to go back to Kevin Barrett on this. Now, Ms. Barrett, you told us at the beginning of the program that you think the Israeli strike proves the military approach against the Assad has reached a dead-end point. It's failed. And now we're hearing news of the head of the opposition National Coalition, which has been and is supported by the West, speaking with Russia, speaking with Iran, and saying that we are ready to engage in negotiations with the Assad government. First of all, do you think that he, Mr. Khatib himself, is engaging in these talks with the backing of the USA, with the backing of the same countries that were against these talks with Iran and Russia?
Yes, I think these countries that are trying to destabilize Syria have reached a dead end, and they know it. And I think we can understand this just by asking ourselves, well, what's the political fallout of an Israeli attack on Syria, which reveals the Israelis, who are universally detested here in the Middle East, as major players in this operation to destabilize Syria? This is from a public relations perspective. This seems pretty stupid. How are you going to continue to convince radical Saudis to come fight in Syria when you see that it's actually the Israelis that are doing this? So I think that when they have to resort to something this desperate, it's a sign that we're nearing the end of the road. And I think it is likely that the U.S., Turkey, the Saudis, and of course the Israelis, who I think are actually running this. I think the Israelis run U.S. Mideast policy, contrary to the opinion of our guest. I think none of this is in the U.S. interest. The U.S. interest would be in a stable Middle East. The U.S. is going broke, paying for policing the world because of all this chaos that the Israelis, who took over the United States on the coup d'etat on September 11, 2001, are creating.
Right, Mr. Barrett, I'll stop you if I may. I'm really sorry, because I've just heard that our guest from Washington, Mr. Richard Hellman, president of the Middle East Research Center, is finally with us. He's managed to make it to the show, although it's a bit late. But Mr. Hellman, welcome to the program. Now, I'd just like to put to you the question regarding what was said earlier on in the program. I guess here saying that the fact that we saw the Israeli airstrike in Syria shows that there is some kind of convergence with Israeli interests and al-Qaeda interests when it comes to what they want to achieve in the long term.
No, that's absurd. There is no convergence of which you speak. Israel just did what any nation would do if it sees a vital threat to its national security interest, and they hit that convoy, which was taking supposedly SAM-17 Russian-made missiles to Hezbollah, and then they hit an arms research and development facility. And so those are limited surgical strikes on military targets in Israel's defense. It has nothing to do really with America. Sadly, we don't have much of a policy on Syria. The United States does not. Nothing as robust and proactive as I have said previously we should have. We should have a policy that says, yes, Bashar al-Assad must go.
Well, Mr. Hellman, sorry for jumping in here. We are a bit short of time.
I have a government there that's...
Okay. Now, the next question I'd like to put to you is, what about the issue of sovereignty of a state? We've been hearing Turkey and Saudi Arabia as well saying that this is an aggression against a sovereign state. This is a violation of international law. I mean, can another country say that it wants to attack Israel because it feels a threat from inside Israel?
Well, in this case, I believe it is a case of legitimate self-defense. From what I've seen, we have had Hezbollah attack Israel and Israelis in times past, and we have seen Hamas run Gaza and others attack Israel, and then Israel has to defend itself. But Hezbollah has sworn enmity and war and hatred against Israel, so Israel is ill-disposed to have weapons moved in from Syria that would destabilize their defense posture.
Right. So, Mr. Dreiser, let's have your response to this. I guess there, Mr. Hellman, saying that Israel does have a right of self-defense.
Yes.
Well, if Israel wants to claim the right to self-defense, they're welcome to do that, but then they cannot take away that right from resistance fighters in the Gaza Strip. You cannot say that the Israelis have the right to retaliate and that the people who are outgunned and outmatched and underfunded and underarmed, that somehow that they don't have that right. This is the hypocrisy of Western imperialism, and I'm sorry, I mean, there's no other tempered words I could use to describe that. It is hypocrisy at its highest level. And I also would like to respond to what the gentleman in Tehran said. I vehemently disagree with the idea that the United States benefits from a peaceful and a stable Middle East. The United States, in an economic crisis, is looking for any way to sustain itself. And the only way that it can do that is military expansion. What they want to do is to create failed states, chaotic states, thereby legitimizing military expansion, as we see in Libya and North Africa.
We've run out of time. I'm really sorry. We have run out of time. A big thank you there to our guest in New York, Mr. Eric Drates, founder of StopImperialism.com. A big thank you to Mr. Richard Hellman in Washington, president of the Middle East Research Center. And here in Tehran with us, Mr. Kevin Barrett, founding member of the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on this edition of The Debate. From me, Homa Lezgi, until our next program. Goodbye.